Good morning. My name is Don. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy, and I'm so glad you decided to tune in with us today. We're spending Lent here at Luke's Diner, meeting the people that Jesus met, learning about them in the book of Luke. Today, we're not going to meet just one person, but we're going to meet a group of people. We're going to meet the 72. We read a lot about the 12 disciples who were the closest to Jesus during his time when he walked the earth. They were the ones that stood out in the crowd. But it is commonly understood that there were many more disciples that followed Jesus during that time also. They may not have followed him the whole time. They may have come and gone during that time. We just don't know that much about them, really. At the end of Luke chapter 9, Jesus is walking down the road, and he's picking out disciples, kind of like Oprah gives away cars. You follow me, and you follow me, and you follow me. Another example of this and his followers comes from our passage this morning in Luke chapter 10. I'll give you a minute just to find that as I explain a little bit about Luke. Luke was not a first follower of Jesus. He was a lot like Paul. He came along later, but Luke was a very well-educated person. So he researched, he studied, and he found people who were those who were close to Jesus, and he talked to them and got firsthand accounts. And then he knew he needed to write this down, and that's how we get the book of Luke. So Luke, chapter 10, starting with verse 1. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them out ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers to the fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Now we'll jump down to verse 8. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever they set before you. Heal the sick and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But if the town refuses to welcome you, go out into the streets and say, I wipe even the dust of your town off my feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on judgment day. Why 72? 72 out of how many, we don't know. We know next to nothing about them. Luke gives us no information really about them at all, but maybe that is done on purpose. In the beginning of Luke chapter 9, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples, the rock stars, with the very same instructions. But the 72 were unknown rookies, people just like you and I, to be this evangelism ministry team, the mini John the Baptist, and prepared them with information to go and prepare these places where he was going to go and visit. Jesus gives them again the very same instructions that to go and in his name they were to heal the sick and tell them that the kingdom of God was near. And he warns them that not everybody is going to be glad to see them and to expect some hardship along the way. He says that greet them with God's peace, and if they reject God's peace and you, then to go into the street and knock the dust off your sandals. And if you read this in the TS version, it would say something like this, because players gonna play, 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 and haters gonna hate, 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 hate. Heartbreakers gonna break, 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 and fakers gonna fake, 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 but I'm going to shake, 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 shake it off, shake it off. Woo, hoo, hoo. Verse 13. How terrible it will be for Chorazin. How terrible it will be for you, Bethsaida. If the miracles done among you had been done for Tyre or Sidon, they would have changed their hearts and lives long ago. They would have sat around in funeral clothes and ashes. But Tyre and Sidon will be better off at the judgment than you. And you, Capernaum, will you be honored by being raised up to heaven? No, you will be cast down to the place of the dead. The Common English Bible says, how terrible it will be for you. But many other versions use the word, but many other versions say, woe to you. So unless you're riding a horse, woe is not a good word. It's like, whoa, that ball just hit her in the head. Woe means unpleasant things are coming your way. He says, if Tyre and Sidon or Sodom and Gomorrah had witnessed the miracles you guys have witnessed, the miracles of people being raised from the dead, blind people being given sight, lame walking, lepers being cleansed, thousands of people being fed. If they had seen this and repented and put on funeral clothes, which would be a sackcloth, and put ashes on their head, if they'd have seen this, they would have mourned and they would have turned from their wicked ways and they would have turned back to God. Jesus said it would be more bearable in these cities that God totally destroyed in judgment than it will be for Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum in the day of judgment. And that is an amazing statement if you think about it, because Sodom and Gomorrah were just infamous for their immorality and their outright refusal to repent. And yet Jesus said it will be easier for them in the day of judgment. And then in verse 16, Jesus just lays down the bottom line for all of this. And he says, then he said to the disciples, anyone who accepts your message accepts me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. Jesus said, there is a lot at stake here. Some will accept the message that Jesus is coming and there will be peace in Jesus. But others are not going to accept Jesus and will not find that peace. But you just go, he says. Do what I have commanded you to do, and then it is all on them. If they accept your invitation, then all of heaven rejoices. If they reject you, then don't take that personal, because really they are rejecting me. And if they reject me, they are rejecting God, and God will take that personal. The Messiah, who has been prophesied throughout the scriptures, has come, and the people of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum they have witnessed his power, and still they do not recognize his authority. Jesus says, if you reject me, you are rejecting the very one who sent me. Believing in God and accepting the authority of Jesus in our lives are two radically different things. Most people, no matter race or economic status or whatever vintage you are, most people have no problem believing in a higher power or the concept of God. But then when it comes to Jesus, it's just dramatically different. You cannot have this same loose concept of the Creator that you do with Jesus. If Jesus isn't who he said he was, then he is an absolute raving lunatic. Because who would come and say and do the things that he did and be willing to be tortured the way he was and die the way he did if he wasn't Christ? Jesus has to be who he said he was. And that requires a specific surrender to his lordship in our lives. John 3:16 through 18 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him isn't judged. Whoever doesn't believe in him is already judged because they don't believe in the name of God's only Son. You have to know and believe. The 72 knew Jesus. They believed in him. They believed who he was and what he said. And one more verse down in Luke 10, verse 17, it says, the 72 returned joyously, saying, Lord, even the demons submitted themselves to us in your name. They came back with joy. And I'm sure many, if not all of them, had stops in their ministry journey where they had to Taylor Swift it a little bit and knock the dust off their boots. But despite whatever pain and sorrow that they would have seen, they focused on the mission and they returned and they shared the joy that they had. My friends, do you do that? Do you share that joy of Christ? I mean, are we modeling this joy for future generations? Do we do that? Do we let them see what that looks like? Do we live out Jesus' values of the kingdom? Do we bring that hope and peace and that light into current life situations? When was the last time you asked the Holy Spirit to lead you in an opportunity to share your Jesus story with someone else? Or ask the Lord what he would have you what he would have you do today. Lord, where can you use me? Maybe God would give you a vision like Shoes of Hope, or Lord, can I be part of building a well in El Salvador? Or can I be part of helping send somebody else to build a well in El Salvador? Maybe you feel like you have this burning desire to do something in the church, but you just don't know what that is yet. You know what? Then you need to talk to Amanda, our hospitality coordinator, or Callie, our ministry volunteer coordinator. Just tell them that you just feel you need to serve, but you don't know what that is yet. And they can help you find that place to serve in the church. As I close my message in prayer, there are two parts to this prayer that I want you to pay special attention to. The first part is for those of you who don't know Jesus. You don't know him personally. You have the concept, but you don't have the relationship. I want you to know that it's not about church. It's not even about religion. It's about your relationship with Jesus. God already knows you. He's already selected you. He's just waiting for you to call. The second part of this prayer is about finding your missional joy. I think many of us lose that somewhere along life's journey. Doesn't mean we're bad Christians. It just means that we got busy with life. So as I pray, if you feel you're in one of those two groups, just pray along with me, silently or out loud, wherever you are, however that feels to you, just pray with me this prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you have selected us, that you have created us, that you call us your own, and that you know who we are long before we know you. Lord, we are sinners. Lord, I am a sinner. And right now, at this time, Lord, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Lord, that you would help wash away the stains on my heart. That you would help me come closer to you. That I would be able to change my life, Lord, and live a life that longs to be closer to you. That the old way I live is no more. That every day from here forward is a day that I now belong to you with all that I am. Lord, I ask that. I ask this in your precious and your holy name. Lord, I want to serve you more. Lord, I want to do all that I can for you for as long as I can. Lord, help me to find the joy in life. Help me to find joy and peace and love in doing the things that bring glory and honor to you. Lord, help me find a place to serve. Lord, life gets busy, but help me, Lord, to be a person, to be your person in this world, to show all those around me that I am yours. Lord, we pray all of this in your precious and your holy name. Amen. If you did say either one of those prayers and you would like to talk more about that, more about your commitment to Christ, let us know. You can mark it on your connection card. You can contact the church, ask to talk to one of the pastors or to anyone at the church, and we would love to just talk with you more about that. If you want to play some ministry, again, you can call and you can, or mark it on your connection card, ask for Amanda or Callie, and we would just love to help you with anything that you would need.